The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Is presented by Grey Goose.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have so much to get to coming off this weekend in the NFL and in sports, and we start with the big game in the AFC. It was the Ravens hosting the Steelers, and the Steelers stayed undefeated, but it was Lamar Jackson who's under pressure during the game and after the game. What did you think about Lamar's performance?
I just liked that it was physical. Too many turnovers for Lamar. That's going to be a problem for this team moving forward, Jacoby, especially losing Stanley on the front line, who they just signed to a big contract. He had two interceptions and two fumbles. You just can't make those mistakes against the Pittsburgh Steelers and a championship-level quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger.
You absolutely can't. And one of the things about this game is the Ravens played better. It was those turnovers. Now, one of those fumbles was insignificant because it was fourth down. He was just kind of reaching for the sticks, never going to get there anyway, only cost him a couple yards. But one of the things about this team is Ben Roethlisberger didn't play well. He didn't do anything in the first half, played well in the second half. But when you have the defense that they have, you can create these turnovers because TJ Watt in specifically is in the backfield pressuring Lamar so many times. Let me get the numbers right. He had five QB hits, one sack, and five tackles. And we all know that Minkah Fitzpatrick play at the end of the game that sealed the game for the Steelers. It was the down before that when TJ Watt put his hand on Lamar's chest and disrupted that play. TJ Watt was an absolute beast. And when you have a defense that does this, you can win like this. Now, you mentioned Staley going down. Jalen, what do you think the implications are that moving forward for the Ravens?
I'm looking deeper in the box score, Jacoby, and as the Titans and the Ravens both run dominant teams, lose dominant offensive players on their line, it's going to affect their run game. And it's going to affect the pass game in particular for the Baltimore Ravens. You know how much Lamar loved to throw it across the middles to Andrews. The Steelers took that away. And Dobbins had a great game rushing the ball yesterday, but it's going to be interesting to see how they make up for this amazing loss on their front line when they just paid him a big-time deal. He just got paid the highest deal in the history of an offensive lineman. So I'm glad he got his bag before he got injured.
Absolutely. It's sort of the opposite of what happened with Dak Prescott. The Steelers did give up 265 rushing yards, perhaps giving the rest of the AFC and the NFL a blueprint of how to beat this now undefeated team. From the undefeated in the AFC to the recently very much defeated in the AFC, you've been talking all season long about this is Cam's year to prove himself. He is auditioning for the future of his career. That audition did not go that well yesterday against the Buffalo Bills with a fumble at the end. What did you see from Cam yesterday?
Jeezy said it. Now that ain't this, and this ain't that. Cam, I'm really disappointed in his performance, Jacoby. He had a chance to at least drive his team down the field later and put him in position to possibly win the game. And Cam Newton, the former MVP, the seasoned veteran, the OG of running the football amongst quarterbacks, got it stripped. But here's what I'll say, and I saw this happen to DeAndre Hopkins a couple of weeks ago. It's one thing when you run and making moves as a skilled player against linebackers and defensive backs, but when you got them linemen raking at the ball, usually when they get a good paw on it, it's coming loose. And Cam had it in the wrong hand, but still, that's a great hustle play, and you reward the defense clearly in a play like, on a play like that.
It was a great play by Justin Zimmer. I think so much will be said about Cam not holding the ball in the right hand and Cam losing the fumble. This is Cam's first lost fumble the entire season. It was a really phenomenal play by Zimmer. And this was a game that was at the very worst for the Patriots going into overtime. But these are the things that swing seasons. We talked about this being a pivotal game for both of these teams. Now the Bills looking atop of the AFC East, looking comfortable. And the Patriots are now looking at their season. And what are they saying to themselves about the future of the 2020 Patriots?
Ski mask and gloves. Hope you're renting if you're a member of the Patriots or leasing, because they're about to clean house. Watch. You're about to look up. It's going to be like, the Patriots trading who? Who's on the block? That's what's about to take place. This is a team, Jacoby, that has won 6 Super Bowls in the last 20 years. This ain't the NFC East where we like, oh, they still got a chance to win the division. They are not trying to win divisions, Jacoby. They're trying to win Super Bowls. And guess what they're not doing this year? Contending. I anticipate they will be cleaning house.
Absolutely. The only person who's safe in their position with the Patriots is Bill Belichick. Everybody else is concerned on Monday and moving forward. Well, staying with the AFC East, and a new contender in that division is the Miami Dolphins. They made the decision to put Fitzpatrick on the bench and start Tua after a bye week against the Rams defense. Didn't look good at first, but looked good in the end. What did they do to support Tua to get them this victory against the Rams?
Shout to Brian Flores, who made a great decision as the head coach. And also shout to Mike Tomlin, who passed Tony Dungy for the most wins for an African-American coach. And when you do this, you set yourself up to get criticized, Jacoby, especially when Aaron Donald gets that sack early in the game. But then all of a sudden, the team dynamic kicked in, and they got a touchdown from each phase, a total team victory. That's how you propel a young starting quarterback in his first game to victory.
They were outgained by 326 yards in this game. Again, they were outgained by 326 yards in this game. But like you said, it was a team victory. And I want to focus on the defense, who had some really great schemes against the Rams, who like to scheme for you. They were getting at Goff, and they were tipping balls at the line. They even had Springfield, Massachusetts' own Christian Wilkins go back in coverage and get an interception. Look at the big man right there. Getting the interception. This was a really, really well-designed defense against a Rams offense, which is built to trick you, and it worked. And Jalen, I've got some good news for Miami Dolphins fans. Look at their upcoming games. It was definitely the right decision to start Tua here, because they're favored to win in 4 of their 5 next games. Do you see them going on a little run here?
I hope so for Tua. You just got to keep that guy upright. And when you're shouting out Springfield, you better shout out Travis Best. I played my McDonald's High School All-American game there in Springfield. It's great that the Dolphins are relevant. And again, when you have a quarterback on the center that gives you promise in a year where you see rookie quarterbacks like Herbert and Burrow doing really well, it's time to give Tua that opportunity. And he did a great job leading them to victory in his first game.
Jalen, I was going to make a joke about how you will never be in Springfield in the Hall of Fame, but you were recognized by the Hall of Fame just a couple years ago. So salute to you and all your efforts that actually got you in Springfield through the back door. Moving on to the Saints and Bears game. This one was frankly closer than it should have been, but ultimately it was Alvin Kamara who ran and caught and gained the Saints to the victory. What did you think about Kamara's big day?
He just glides. And for you young football fans out there, this is shades of Gale Sayers. And of course, he's not doing it in the return game like Gale. But man, when he gets the football in his hands, don't it just look like he's smoother and faster than everyone else, Jacoby?
Yes.
Can run it between the tackles. He's a terrific receiver coming out of the backfield. And playing without Michael Thomas, playing without Emmanuel Sanders, Drew Brees can continue to use this guy as a dual threat and propel them to victory against a tough defense like the Chicago Bears.
Kamara has 55 receptions through 7 games, which according to Elias is the most for a running back in the history of the NFL since the merger. Very impressive from him. One thing I do want to mention is that if you look at Nick Foles' stats, 28, you know, completed passes, 272 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. They don't sound that bad, but when you watch Nick Foles, it looks that bad. And I have to wonder if Matt Nagy isn't thinking, maybe we'll bring Trubisky back. He's a little bit more mobile, a little bit more athletic. He can move the pocket. He can get out of the pocket and do some things. That's something to keep an eye on in Chicago. But there's something that happened during this game that was much more important than the final score. And that is our soft mover boss move. Jalen, this is a very special soft move or boss move because this is going to be a rapid fire soft move or boss move about the incident that happened between Wins and Gardner Johnson.
Yes.
Now, we all know what we're talking about by now. You've all seen it on social. So this is the first thing I want to mention is before you see this, it's actually Gardner Johnson who rips out the mouthpiece of Wim. Soft move or boss move, ripping out your opponent's mouthpiece.
I think it's a boss move to rip out your opponent's mouthpiece because I don't mind disdain for the opponent.
Okay, secondly, then it's Wim's retaliating by ripping out the mouthpiece of Gardner Johnson and then punching him, retaliating by ripping out the mouthpiece as retaliation, soft move or boss move.
It's a boss move, and Wims is a big dude, so when you pick that battle, you better be ready to go all the way there.
Then we have Wims punching a man with a helmet on in the head. Soft move or boss move?
Now, that's a soft move. That's how you break your hand, fracture your wrist, or do something that's going to affect your livelihood, especially as a receiver.
Now, to me, this was the most curious element of the whole thing. Gardner Johnson being completely stoic and unresponsive after being repeatedly punched in the head by his opponent on a football field. Soft move or boss move?
That's a boss move because he was trying to get him ejected at that point. It's like you saw him throw the punch. You saw me not retaliate. So he should actually be the person that gets ejected, not me.
And then finally, Janoris Jenkins leapfrogging on the top of everybody at the end. Soft move or boss move?
Now, it's a boss move to help out your teammate, but it's soft because he can't get that big dude down. Look, he tried to tackle Wims. Look, he can't get him down, Jacoby. I try to tell you, Wims was a big dude.
he looks like my seven-year-old trying
Ryan
to get a piggyback from me. Well, to everybody, while we do not condone violence in sports or anywhere, we do enjoy to talk about it from time to time. Now, Jalen. We've really celebrated this weekend in sports, but you need help. You need an intervention, Jalen. It is now intervention time. Jalen, Michigan, you said was going to wax Michigan State. That was not the case. The Lions at 3-3 had you feeling good. That was not the case. You need an intervention. You're in abusive relationships with these two teams. You're in an emotionally abusive relationship with both of these teams. And I encourage you to take on the die easy lifestyle. I know how this affects you deeply. Please stop rooting for these two teams.
Look, man, look. I mean, it's crazy out here. So here's the thing, Jacob. The Lions were like 1-9 against teams with winning records when we go into the game. Our last 10 times we play them. Mm-hmm. And this loss to Michigan State, fam, was the worst loss for me since Harbaugh became our head coach. It was the first time I went to the locker room with my team in the maize and blue and cried because Michigan State just lost to Rutgers. They're a crosstown rival. The season just started, and they did the unthinkable. They rendered the rest of our season virtually irrelevant unless we beat Ohio State. That's exactly what you want to do to your rival. Some of my favorite people in the world have gone to Michigan State University, including people in my family. I must bow down to Sparty for now. Basketball season is coming, and you guys know how much I love Tom Izzo, but I was very disappointed in the loss by my Michigan Wolverines against the Michigan State Spartans. Very disappointed, Jacoby.
Well, Jalen, just imagine how you're going to feel when they get waxed by the Buckeyes. Jalen, we have Russell Wilson dominating again, linking up with Metcalf. We have the Cowboys once again looking terrible and so much more. We'll discuss it all. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Don't forget to vote on Election Day, November 3rd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, because this is ESPN, we have to talk about the Cowboys. I watched every snap of this Cowboys-Eagles game last night. And It was atrocious, but it was interesting. But Jalen, what do you think the biggest problem for the Cowboys, not just last night, but moving forward right now is?
Well, we're going to cover them because they're still considered America's team. But Jacoby, trust me, our supporters appreciate the fact that we don't troll the Cowboys or the Lakers for topics. What do I think the next thing for the Cowboys is something I've been saying since the beginning of the year. The only way to pay Dak is to trade Zeke. When you look at how this team has now formed itself offensively, you would love to get from under Amari and or Zeke's contracts. The problem is they're going to be really tough to do. That's the only way you could do a makeover offensively. Lawrence has actually been good defensively and still ranks as one of the top at what he does. So if you're going to change your offensive dynamic with a high-paid offensive line plus take care of Dak, you're going to have to figure something to do with Amari and or Zeke. Has Zeke had 100 yards this year? Has Zeke had 100 yards this year?
Not only that, Jalen, is you would think with Ben DiNucci starting the game that Zeke would get more than 19 attempts. Since week two, he has not had 20 attempts from the line of scrimmage. A lot of it going to Pollard. But if you have Zeke and you're paying him that, you should probably hand him the ball, especially when your quarterback was a star at James Madison University. Shout to him in the side arm, though. He's like Dan Quisenberry out there. DiNucci was just like doing it out there. Well, moving on to a game that featured two good teams, not like the one we were just discussing. We have the 49ers and the Seahawks. The Seahawks making light work of the 49ers and Russell Wilson, four touchdowns, doing it so easily. What do you think of Russell and DK Metcalf's connection?
First and foremost, the 49ers have dealt with massive injuries. Anytime Bosa gets injured, that's like a team losing a franchise quarterback. But I will say this, with him and Sherman being out, that team clearly suffered a Super Bowl hangover. And the Seahawks were there and ready to pounce. DK Metcalf catching everything thrown his way. Two TD passes. Russell Wilson more TD passes at this point of the season than any quarterback in the history of the game. They look ferocious. Adams and Wagner, two of the best at either level in the league. They have pass rushing. They have coaching. I can't wait to see this team, the Buccaneers, the Saints, potentially if healthy. I feel those are the squads that are jockeying to see who's going to come out of the NFC.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Buccaneers because Tom Brady of the Buccaneers actually has had one more touchdown pass through seven games than Russell Wilson, but that is how close Russell Wilson is to the elite status. You know, you're not the only one that does research. Not the only one that does research for this, Jalen Rose. And one thing I want to look at, because I'm a media guy and I like to overreact to things, and are we sure that Jimmy G is the future of the 49ers at quarterback? Now, granted, he went out and he was injured. He's been dealing with an ankle sprain, but he was 11 for 16 with 84 yards through three quarters. All of a sudden, Nick Mullins comes in. Now, I know he's playing against a prevent defense and it was kind of garbage time or whatever, but Nick Mullins comes in and, I don't know, he just went 18 for 25 for 238 yards and two touchdowns. And when you look at a salary cap sport at the difference in performance and the difference in salary, you have to wonder if Jimmy G is long for San Francisco. Jalen, staying with the top teams in the NFC, we have to discuss what's happening in your Lions division. It is the Vikings coming into the game against the Packers with one win. This is going to be a blowout, right? The Packers are going to blow them out, right? Well, Dalvin Cook had something to say about that. What do you think about Cook cooking?
I just want to make sure I always acknowledge bad losses. And I think the Titans, the Rams, and the Packers each had bad losses based on the teams they were facing and how they looked going into the weekend. Shout to Dalvin Cook, who scored one, two, three, four touchdowns, the most in a game since, Bobby Moore, Ahmad Rashad, the guy that's a trailblazer in multimedia, the former football player who also covered the NBA forever and knocked down barriers for people that look like me to talk about multiple sports on television. This is why you come to Jalen and Jacoby. Last week, we gave you Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. This week, we're giving you the vintage footage. We're giving you the Gale Sayers. We give the people! They want. Shout to the OG Ahmad.
We've discussed the undefeated Steelers. We've discussed Lamar Jackson. We've already given Russell Wilson the MVP. But quietly, a gentleman by the name of... Wait, I have a question. Where are my homies?
Where are my homies?
Patrick Mahomes. Oh, he just came out and threw five passing touchdowns. No big deal. Spreading the ball around to everybody. He carried Tyreek Hill on his back literally during this game. Is Mahomes playing his way back into the MVP conversation?
Eric B for president. All I know is this. There better be teams lining up to take Bienemy away from the Kansas City Chiefs so that the Chiefs have to give him a blank check to stay. Because they're having way too much fun. It's Hardman. Mm-hmm. It's Robinson. It's Hill. It's Kelce. It's Mahomes under center. Spreading the football around, making it look easy. Oh, that's right. Who are they playing? Oh, the Jets. They'll do that to you as well. The Jets will do that to you.
The Jets will make Ben DiNucci look like an all-pro quarterback. When we come back, we're going to show you a knockout that you will not believe, something you haven't seen since the days of Tyson. Stay tuned to see that. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
The MAC is back on Wednesday. ESPN Ohio versus Central Michigan. ESPN 2 Buffalo versus Northern Illinois. And on ESPNU, Bowling Green versus Toledo. Jalen, you know we weren't going to end the show without showing you Gervonta Davis's knockout of Leo Santa Cruz. Your thoughts?
Tank, we are not worthy. And I know going into this fight, it happens all of the time in sweet science. Each fighter needs that notable performance to make the casual fan pay attention and catapult them to mainstream popularity. This was the moment for Tank. Now people are going to be paying attention to when he's back up into the ring because that was spectacular. Shout
we'll
out to
be back
my
tomorrow
brother
on
Floyd
ESPN
too.
At 2 p.m. We always say to give the people what they want. Part of that is doing exclusive podcast content. Now, Jalen, there are some games that we did not get to during the television show that I really want to discuss.
Okay.
One of those, Titans Bengals. Now, everyone's talking about Joe Burrow. But one thing I want to discuss is where the Titans failed. And that is getting pressure on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has an offensive line. This is made up dudes that were working construction in Cincinnati like 3 months ago. Like, if their offensive line is so depleted that Joe Burrow is forced out of the pocket on like 2 out of 3 dropbacks. And he makes magic. He's looked great. The Titans come into the game knowing this is one of the worst pass protection offensive line, and they get 0 sacks on Joe Burrow. You can have Tannehill do what his game managing thing. You can have Henry run. But if you don't have the defense or the pass rush, you are not going to be successful. And that proved itself yesterday against the Bengals.
Good afternoon to our Jalen and Jacoby supporters. Gather around. It's time for your weekly lesson in football 101. There's something that you can play called complementary football when you have a 3-down running back that can be somebody to carry the ball 25 times. And you have a physical offensive or defensive line. Ask the San Francisco 49ers. They didn't have a notable quote-unquote running back last year. But they did it by committee, Jacoby. And that's what allowed their defense to then be so very aggressive rushing the quarterback of the other team, and Bosa led the way. Look at teams like the Dallas Cowboys. A couple of years ago when Zeke was running the football, you could sign Lawrence, you could sign Jalen Smith because they're going to get to the quarterback because of ball control reasons. The Titans were able to do that when they had Taylor Lewan on the offensive line. One of the best left tackles in football. He's injured. Tannehill's numbers, Derrick Henry's numbers, they're not going to be the same. That doesn't mean that they can't make the playoffs. It doesn't mean that they're both not good players. But we overvalue in the media sometimes the skill players position, quarterback, wide receiver, running back in particular, but we downplay the physicality of both lines. And I'm glad that you started this segment. I don't know if I should shed a tear or cheer. I'm glad that you said what you said. The defensive line of the Titans, when they don't have Derrick Henry running the ball for 150 or 200 yards, now all of a sudden they got to play four downs. They got to play four downs now. And then all of a sudden, Bengals had no problems blocking them, keeping Burrow clean, T. Higgins getting it to them. Weren't they playing without Mixon?
Mm-hmm.
Weren't they playing without Mixon? They don't even, mm-hmm. they rarely use A.J. Green anymore. I don't know if he done or in a Bengal. I'm not sure. And so I agree with you. It was really impressive that they were able to keep their rookie quarterback upright an entire game without surrendering a sack. You usually win those games. Bad loss by the Titans.
You brought up a name that I want to discuss. Because you know I like to take small sample sizes and make huge conclusions and do the media thing, right? Joe Burrow and T. Higgins are the duo of the future. I'm not going to say for the league, but certainly for the Bengals. Like, A.J. Green is on the Bengals. He was targeted 2 times by Joe Burrow in this game. T. Higgins was targeted 9 times by Joe Burrow in this game. Higgins from Clemson. Burrow from LSU. There's just a history there. And then I read about Higgins today because I love him so much. And his coaching staff was just saying, listen, he wasn't really involved early in the season. They're like, just understand the offense and do your homework and stay involved in practice and the game will come to you. And you see that with rookies. You know, especially when you have no preseason, no offseason. This dude came from Clemson to the Bengals, like game to game. And I really think that Burrow and Higgins have figured something out.
Hold on. I got to say something as a seasoned veteran of how things work with the NCAA. And I'm winking my eyes for those politically correct. Usually, when you go from playing football at LSU and Clemson to playing for the Bengals, that's a downgrade, Jacoby. That's a pay cut. What are you saying? What do you mean?
The point I was trying to make was they did not have practice. They didn't have OTAs and preseason and the time to sort of develop the chemistry. So you're seeing them develop the chemistry during the regular season.
I will bet you anything that Clemson have better facilities than the Bengals. I'll bet you anything. Yes,
Clemson has some really nice facilities. Which is the one? I want to find the one that has the, they've got like a, what's it called? Like a lazy river? That's the one I want to see. I love me a lazy river. Woof, don't get me on a tube in a lazy river. an infinite lazy river. I got to go tubing at some point in my life. I'm going tubing this summer.
I'm good. Not enough control.
I'm going tubing.
Not enough control.
I'm going tubing.
That's
you
cultural.
Just can't swim, dog. You can't swim,
cultural.
Dog. That's what it is.
No, it ain't.
You won't drown, but you can't swim.
It's two reasons. Since I can't swim, if I'm going to be on the water, I need to be in control. Jet ski. I need to be in control.
Jet ski. Motor.
Yeah. I need to be in control. If I fall, I know what to do.
Wheel.
I know the safety protocols. I can fix it. I don't need a pilot. I don't need an anchor. I don't need none of those things that can stop me from surviving. Period.
Can I sell you on tubing? Let me sell you on tubing. First of all, tubing may be cultural. I've never tubed.
Definitely.
I don't know how it goes.
Definitely.
Let me sell you on tubing.
How about this? Ranch to ledge. Have you ever been tubing?
No. Jalen, let me sell you on tubing real quick. This is why I want to do it. So you've seen a tube before, a floating tube in the water, right? What they do is it's a company that you go to the company. You go to position A. You meet them at like 10 in the morning. They give you a tube to float in. They drop you off in the water. And not only that is, you have a sidecar on your tube, which is just for beers and beverages. So you've got snacks, beers, and beverages. You get in the water. You just get taken by the current of the water. And then they drive to position B at the end of it and pick you up and conclude your day. So you can just go down the river and they don't walk. Like, you don't have to go back to your car or anything like that. It's all taken care of. I want to go tubing so bad. I'm going tubing. I'm going tubing like North Carolina.
I love that sound, Reg.
Reg, can you play the Halloween laugh? Because this is the only show where it's appropriate. You use it all the time. Play the Halloween laugh, Reg.
Jacoby.
This is the only time you can get it off where it's appropriate. There it is. That's
always Jacoby. No. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something that's so very cultural that I'm not gonna lay comfortably in the arms of somebody that's a lifeguard that's trying to teach me to swim and do a backstroke. I'm definitely not gonna lay comfortably in a tube that's just floating on the water aimlessly. I'm not gonna be able to do it. I am not gonna be able to do it, dog.
There are some lifeguards that you would lay very comfortably in the arms of. That's all I had to say about that. And you'd be like, I'm good on the backstroke. I want to work on my freestyle. Let's move on before we get fired. We did not get a chance to talk about Justin Herbert versus Drew Lock. The Broncos were down by, 17, 21 points? Drew Lock brings him all the way back, scores in the last second, left butt cheek down of Handler. And then Drew Lock breaks out the dance. I know you've seen the one that I'm talking about. So the Drew Lock dance, soft move or boss move?
Boss move.
I loved it.
And I have to say something, and let's bring this up on the show. This is a really important moment in black and white history. And I'm not just talking about the election that we're bracing for like we having a war. And it's so sad that our country has gotten to this point. But that's another topic for another day. How about this, Jacoby? As you sit right now with your white brethren on the wall, and I sit right now with my black dreads on the wall, I have to ask you a question. I have to ask you about conversations to have in rooms that I'm not available. I want to have a conf. I want to know what happens in a room full of whites when Drew Lock breaks down the dance the way he does. What level of pride do you guys really have? Tell everybody how high
the
level
of pride. Let me take you behind the curtain. Drew Lock was already in the Hall of Fame. You know you've seen the clip of Drew Lock rapping to Jeezy? Have you seen that clip? Oh yeah, Drew Lock's already in the club. The velvet rope's already open. He don't have to call ahead and get on the list. He's already in there. He's already in there for those Jeezy lyrics. It's not just the Jeezy lyrics, it's the delivery, it's the hand motions, it's the head bop. It's the whole thing. It's halftime of an NFL game, being that comfortable. He doesn't have the Microsoft Surface open, looking at pictures of the all 22 of how the defense has covered him on first and second, third down. No, he's head bopping to Jeezy, comfortable in his rookie season as a starting quarterback in the NFL. I love me some Drew Lock. And as a semi-awkward but capable dancer, I would never call myself a good dancer or even mediocre, probably below average, but I'm not going to embarrass myself over time. It was a little awkward, but if you kind of do it with enough confidence, it looks good. I haven't seen that particular dance. I don't know if it's hot in the streets. I'm 42 years old and I got kids, but I really enjoyed it. It was like a little swim move that he was doing there. I liked it. I shot to Drew Lock.
So, Jacoby, I need to go deeper in the box score on this one.
Okay.
If I'm in a room full of people that look like me and Lamar Jackson does a reverse spin and he takes it to the end zone, yes, mm-hmm. the entire world can pay attention to that was an amazing play. But trust me, the people that look like me in the room understand the plight of black quarterbacks and how far they've come. They feel an extra sense of pride when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I know white people feel an extra sense of pride when Drew Lock actually can deliver rap lyrics on beat and he can actually dance on beat. I know you felt enthusiastic. How did you and your friends text about the Drew Lock dance moves? Because I know y'all did.
Can't lie in the microphones. There was zero text between me and my friends about the Drew Lock dance moves. Didn't even really go that noticed on Twitter, to be honest with you. But one thing I do want to say about them is they were still reviewing the play. Like, I mean, I was watching that one live, and it did look like it goes This weekend was the weekend of the shin in the NFL. This was the weekend of the shin in the NFL. The shin is not a foot. You don't have to get two shins down. A shin is as good as 2 feet. And I remember two plays in which the shin came into play, and the shin came into play on this one. Butt cheek slightly out of bounds, shin inbounds. Game, Broncos. Jalen, I don't like to pat myself on the back too much, but I'm going to do it right now. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, I was talking about, it was after the Packers game, I was talking about Lavonte David and Devin White, and them being the best linebacking duo in the NFL. And then I said it again last week. Headline, ESPN.com. Tampa Bay Buccaneers inside linebackers are becoming the best linebacking duo in the NFL. That's why you listen to Jalen and Jacoby. That's why you go to the podcast exclusives. Because you're going to get it first. It's broken news all of a sudden. Now, I'm not trying to take any credit for that headline because it's kind of getting obvious at this point.
I see a lot of our stuff get paraphrased.
But you know the editors of the NFL section of ESPN.com are not listening to podcast exclusive Jalen and Jacoby.
Not true. Let me tell you what I learned. What you just said is patently false.
Okay, don't point at me like that. That's triggering.
I'm going to tell you what I learned about this show. When there are people who get a chance to cover sports that don't have the time or the love to watch all of the sports, what they do is they watch taste-making shows like this and paraphrase what we say. It's almost like having that artist that isn't mainstream. And then all of a sudden somebody go paraphrase their hook or paraphrase their sound or the song that they were rapping about. And then they rap about it on the mainstream stage and people think they made it up.
I always like this one. And first of all, you're right. Shout out to you. More people than I expect, you know, compliment me on a show when I see them and whatnot. But I always like this one when an artist has a hit. And then there's always like a TMZ headline that's like, such and such Swedish artist is suing them for taking their song. And I always click on it like, this has got to be BS. There's no way. And then I click on the YouTube link that's got 7,000 views or whatever. And then I listen to that song. I'm like, what way? This is not a coincidence. I'm like, this is too much like this. Like the chorus is the same. The words are the same. Like you just straight copied and pasted this like it was a college paper that you had to hand in that you didn't do the night before. But I appreciate the compliments. Jalen Rose, I want to take people on the behind the curtain. We didn't have audio connected, so I was clowning your outfit to you with jokes before you could hear me. And then I meant to text Reg, why is Jalen dressed like Tommy from Power? But I did the thing where I was thinking Jalen, so I texted Jalen, why is Jalen dressed like Tommy from Power? Halloween was 2 days ago. And you were legit mad. And I like to bring it on wax because it's not serious. But there's a little part of you that was mad. You assassinated my character and you were upset.
I was not mad.
Lie.
That is not the word to describe what I was. I was not mad. Okay. It's just one of those moments for everybody that's listening to the show where you catch your friends talking about you behind your back.
Of course.
That's all. It doesn't make me mad. We know that this happens, but it's just the difference between how we approach our professional friends while we're doing the show. You're looking down at your phone for that hour and a half, 2 hours that we're doing the show in the pod, and there are multiple times you're texting Dee, you're texting Zach, you're texting Allison, you're texting everybody, Rich,
Wait. So we can see each other when we do the show. I don't look at my phone. And you're making an assumption.
Jacoby, you were texting about my outfit and made a mistake and text me.
Fact.
But you're taking
an incident and being like, well, you do this during the show. You've got a sidebar with everybody on the show about me. You're taking it too far.
Let me tell you something. I don't even care. But let me tell you, because I know I'm fresh. And by the way, Tommy's a character and that's my brother. I love him. This is real life. Let me just tell you this. You like that one. I want to get the pop father back on because I want to address something that he said that I let slide. I know he was taping and all of that, but he said something that I let slide. He was like, Jacoby, You know, Jalen loved to jump on bandwagons first. And so that was another time where it let me know, wait a minute. So that's what they say about me when I'm not around. Okay, got it. And then so I saw the text.
That's a bad read.
So
that's
I'm
a bad
like, read. Okay. Maybe because I'm just first to the party. That's what it is.
As you always say, industry tastemaker. Industry tastemaker. You know that me and the Podfather love you very much, and we do not talk behind your back about you. But I also want to say this, though, is I want you to explain the outfit, though, because you've got black leather shoulders, dark, dark gray hoodie, looking like it's really cold outside. You've got a beanie that looks like it's like a 4 foot long beanie that you folded over like a ski mask that you could pull down at any given time. Yeah. Oh, it is a ski mask. I knew it. So you've got the ski mask overfolded. And that's why I said you look like a 16-year-old about to do a petty crime, like overdressed for it. You know what I mean? Like you look like someone in a high school play about to rob a bank. That would be what I say that this outfit is.
So I'm about to give all y'all some game. Shout to the person that hit me on Twitter that told me he took my advice about listening to instrumentals when he was around his kids. Now his wife isn't mad at him anymore, Jacoby, and he said he was listening to his favorite Wu-Tang beats in the house, and the wifey was not looking at him sideways.
Great. Shout out to that.
That's the kind of life skills you get from J&J. Here's a COVID life skill I want to give all of y'all. You got to get the ski mask that only show the eyes. You got to get the ski mask that only show the eyes.
Don't need the nose hole. No nose hole.
That's all you gotta rock right now. That's what I'm doing. You fold it over twice and it's like new money. Because for me, it's hard to put so many things over my ears. It's like my glasses, my mask, my hat. Like it becomes too many items. My do-rag. You know what I'm saying? So, boom. All day. Ski mask.
Also, suggest you wear
no nose.
A proper mask underneath the ski mask to be extra careful with the COVID. Because, you know, I used to wear one of those, what they call gaiters. You know, they're like a circle thing that you pull up over your nose and mouth. And then the Wall Street Journal came out with a study that said that those literally are worse for you than wearing no mask. So I had to put those on deck. So you got to stay with the times, especially when it comes to COVID.
Oh, whoa. I just got an emergency topic.
Because I was about to have a great transition too.
I got an emergency J&J topic.
I was about to
that all of our people are gonna love from one of our better supporters. I'll just call this gentleman Bill. He sent me a text that says, "Act Blue is like a gentleman's club." They keep going.
Let me read this before I say to no wax. I'm on the text too.
No, you know what? We'll come back to this one.
We'll come back to this one. But I got a good transition here because we're talking about COVID and T.I. You know, we love T.I. Love his music. Legend in the game.
Yes. Yes.
Great musician. Maybe don't take his advice when it comes to COVID health. Because he was on Speedy Mormon's show, and I'm just going to quote it. Jalen. I want you to listen to this.
Okay.
He was drinking tea at the time. He said, "Tea quote," and this is a quote from T.I., great musician, great businessman, family man, all around great human, but we all can't bat 1,000, and I would take his advice on many things when it comes to lifestyle, perhaps not COVID health and prevention, because here is his quote about COVID prevention. Quote, "Tea 3 times a day keeps the COVID away," is what Mormon asked him. And he responded, "COVID starts in the throat. If you catch it while it's still in the throat and you drink warm liquid, the warm liquid will wash it down into the stomach where the stomach acid will then kill it." Neither Jalen nor I are epidemiologists. However, one of the great New York City point guards, Anthony Fauci, I do not believe that he backs up this science. Kenny Anderson, Steph, Anthony Fauci.
Earl the Pearl.
You're not a point guard.
Pearl Washington from New York. Here's what I want to say. This period of time, Jacoby, and I got to stay consistent. I don't care whether it's Drew Brees saying what he said about Colin Kaepernick and how he felt about the flag and how he felt at the time it disrespected the and his ancestors, his father and grandfather were in a war. Even though it was a tone-deaf statement, I made sure I came on in this program and made sure I acknowledged that I don't vilify people for speaking their opinion. I'd rather know how you feel. That's kind of how we get towards healing and get towards solution. And whether it's more than a vote, JRLA, I've done at least 50 videos about rallying people responsibly and respectfully to vote, Jacoby. And when I see Kanye West lobbying people to put his name on the ballot, or 50 Cent endorsing Donald Trump in theory based on his tax strategies, it was someone else. When I see Lil Wayne at the White House taking a picture with the president, it upsets a lot of people that look like me. It don't upset me, dog. It motivates me. It disappoints me because a lot of their audience probably is surprised how they truly feel behind closed doors. And those are the people that help them garner their actual fame and celebrity. Because each of those artists stood on the shoulders of that audience before they became mainstream, not the other way around. But I'm not mad. And I don't want you to be mad. Here's what I want you to do. Vote.
Vote.
That's what I want you to do. Because regardless of any political affiliations, anytime you see me talk about this topic, you know what you have not seen me do? Endorse a candidate. You ain't seen me endorse a candidate.
Just vote.
I know where I stand, and people who know me know where I stand, or people that have been following me since 1973 know where I stand. But I'm not here to persuade somebody my feelings. But I also want to encourage others. While you can be disappointed and unfollow or not want to support certain people that you feel like have let you down based on who you feel like their political affiliation is, it's more mature not to be mad at the person because they let us know where they stand. And you know what they say about knowing, Jacoby? It's half the battle. So now that you know... Right. So now that you know, you can either choose to rock with the person or not rock with the person. The ball's in your court.
Absolutely. And I will say on voting, you don't have to be in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Georgia, Texas, those quote unquote swing states that everyone's got under a microscope right now to have your vote be heard. Like, I think sometimes people get discouraged because they see so much attention to these certain quote-unquote swing states. No matter where you live, make sure you vote. Because presidents are not the only thing on the ballot as well. There's a lot of decisions to be made there.
School days, Jacoby, and this is what frustrates, and I'm going to just be frank about it, because I think me saying things that show my imperfections give humility and courage to other people who are not in the position that I'm in. When I first started voting, first off, let me say this. I am proud of all of the people that are voting for the first time. I'm proud of all of the people
Yes.
that are voting for the first time. But you know what I'm also doing? The ones that are over 40, I'm kind of looking at them sideways a little bit too and judging them.
That's fine. But we can't go backwards in time. We don't have a time machine. We don't have a time machine.
I'm just being hey, this is therapy. And there are people that listen to what we say. I need to give courage to those that feel either way about this. And so, again, I'm encouraged by those that are voting for the first time. But we're going to have a conversation off wax. I am kind of looking at them sideways. I would love to learn why it took like 25 years to figure that out. There's more. So when you're voting, it's more than just president of the United States. So many times we only talk about voting for the president. And when I first started voting, Jacoby, I'll never forget standing there looking at the ballot box thinking, I don't know none of these board members, any of these regents, any of these people. I'm standing here. Right?
Yeah.
I don't even know any of these people, right? And then you know what else I realized? None of these people look like me either. So I was like, wait a minute. So the most quote unquote powerful thing to do to create change is to vote. Yet it becomes discouraging to people who look like me when they look at the ballot and they feel like nobody represents their best interest. This is why it hasn't become a priority in our community. The other thing is a number I want to give everybody, 270. While it's important, it's to do it like your life depends on it. Vote like your life depends on it. But we're still going to be looking at a scoreboard of 270 people, of 270 to see who gets there first. And those 500 to, I guess, 550 people who oversee the Electoral College, when you get a chance, look at all of their pictures. When you get a chance, look at all their pictures. I did it. They also have nothing in common with me. So what I want to tell people is the change that we want to see happening on the ballot box and in society ain't going to happen between now and November 3rd. We're going for field position. Look up at the scores. 400 years of slavery to zero. We're not going to win the game between now and Wednesday. But it's our job to continue to move the ball down the field and get closer and closer and closer towards solutions. This is what our ancestors had to do, and this is what we're going to need to do. So don't be discouraged. Get out there and vote.
Very well put, Mr. Rose. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done.